Well, good morning. I'm Mike Thomas, one of the pastors here at Bethany. And I want to thank you for joining us today in person or through our streaming platforms. I get to clean up today as we talk about our final question in our eight-week sermon series, Asking for a Friend. And today's question is, can I do something so bad that God won't forgive me? That can be a tough question. Because if God is loving and forgives our sins through Christ, is there anything that I can do that he won't forgive? On the other hand, we don't believe in universal salvation. God is clearly a God of judgment in Scripture. So where does that leave you and me? If his grace is free, and if I don't need to do anything to receive it, do I even need to ask for forgiveness? Or does his grace overwhelm me so much that my response to God is one of repentance and faithfulness and walking in his light? We need to consider verse 7 of our text. If we live in the light of Christ, then the blood of Jesus Christ purifies us from every sin. It's interesting, my friends, that no matter what we do as Christians, we always end up at the cross. It's through the blood of Jesus that we experience God's unconditional love. God's grace is sufficient for us and our lives, no matter what I do, because God's Son died for you and me on the cross. Yet I think it is good for us to struggle with the question, is there anything I can do so bad God won't forgive me? When I was growing up in Michigan, it was a cold, wintry day, and I had one of my buddies over after school. It was nasty out. We really wanted to throw some football. So I said, you know, Vince, our living room is really big. We could just throw it in there. Kids, don't try this at home. Well, we had fun until I missed the pass. The ball went flying into Mom's tall green hutch in the corner, filled with dishes. And yeah, one of her favorite ones that she had on display was a priceless heirloom from her grandmother. You know, one of those hand-painted porcelain plates. It broke into several pieces. And I thought, I'm never going to get this glued back together. What am I going to do? I couldn't blame my brother or sister because I'm an only child. I can't blame our cat because Mom will never believe me. My buddy and I felt really bad. And I was sure my mom would just never forgive me. Well, when she got home, she had several words for me. And then she ended with, wait until your father gets home. I thought I was going to get kicked out of the house. I apologized. I asked for her forgiveness. And it was a rough couple of days. But eventually my mom came to me and said, son, what you did really upset me. And you know, you shouldn't have been playing football in the house. But you know, your mother loves you dearly. And I forgive you. As people, we struggle with forgiving each other when we're offended. There are times in our families, in our communities, at work, we don't want to let go of that grudge. It makes us feel good for whatever reason. Yet are we being children of the light when we live that way? John says in our text, if we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ and we continue to sin, then our life is a lie. Here's what he says. If we say that we have fellowship with God while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. Our relationship with God invites, no, demands that we live a better life, a life that puts God first as we make decisions and choices that honor him, not our own selfish desires. It is a daily challenge. One of the resources that I use when I meet with couples preparing for marriage is Prepare Enrich. And it is an inventory that has 130 statements that each of the couple respond to, and then their responses are compared. And one of the statements under the relationship category is, there is nothing that could cause me to question my love for my partner. Would you agree or disagree with that? Most often, it seems that the first-time couples would strongly agree with it. If that same question is asked 10 years later, I'm not sure the answers would be the same. But in our review, I would ask, if your partner became abusive or an alcoholic, or they chose to have an affair, or if they became a compulsive gambler and were financially irresponsible, is there nothing that would cause you to question your love for them? Is there anything that we can do that we would be unable to forgive them for? As I considered our text, we walk in darkness. When we are unfaithful to our spouse, our significant other, or within our family relationships, we are unfaithful whenever we use mental, emotional, or physical abuse in our relationships. We risk losing trust, causing hurt and pain to them and within our circle of family and friends. But the light calls us to love and cherish our family. The light calls us to find ways to put them first, to give them our support with honest and open communication. We walk in darkness when we allow our pride and selfishness to put others down. It causes us to build walls with our friends and our family and within our community. The light invites us into a positive and uplifting relationship where we care for each other's needs and are willing to forgive their wrongs and to be able to move on. Too often we just want to hold on rather than let go. We are all sinners, each and every one of us. As Pastor John mentioned last Sunday, sin came into God's perfect world and creation through humankind. The free choice that God gave to us, that wasn't a part of his plan, that sin come into the world. It wasn't a part of his design, but it happened. And so now we are a fallen creation. And yes, we will screw up. We will make mistakes, sometimes several a day. Mistakes that our partners, our families, our parents will struggle with. And yet, they are mistakes that are forgiven by God as he invites us to forgive each other. It's called living under his grace. Scripture reminds us that God's grace is sufficient. We can believe and trust in that. Paul himself, in fact, struggled in his life and faith. He mentions that in the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12. Paul had some sort of thorn in the side. We don't know exactly what it is. We don't know if it was a physical disability or a specific opponent or an opposition of his fellow Jews that were causing him that pain. But he prayed to God, and he asked God to remove it. Hear God's response to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Is there anything that we can do that God will not forgive? Because his grace is sufficient. It is unconditional. It is limitless. We experience the fullness of his power when we are weak. God's light and grace has come into the world through Jesus Christ. That light shines in the dark places of our lives, not just to show us our sin and imperfections, but to show us a better way as we trust in his grace. My friends, one of the hardest aspects of our Christian faith is to understand God's grace. We may think God will never forgive me for this. We feel we're so unworthy that we can't please God no matter what we do, and God won't forgive my sin and the deeds of darkness. But his rich grace will. That came with a price, his only son's life on the cross. It was not cheap. And as Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, we should not practice cheap grace. A grace that says, it doesn't matter what I do, God will forgive me. Because God's grace came with a price for you and me. I mentioned at the beginning that we don't believe in universal salvation, which says that we are all forgiven and I have the right to eternal life regardless. The assumption denies God's judgment and ultimate authority. Yet when you and I experience God's grace and forgiveness, then our response is one of repentance, of being sorry for our sin, with a commitment to live a better life. Think about it. Our God, who is so great and awesome, also knows what's in our hearts. Recall the story of the woman who was brought to Jesus in the temple by the authorities. She was caught in the act of adultery. Well, back then, the law required them to stone that person to death. But Jesus, in his wisdom, said, "You who are without sin, you cast the first stone." No one did. Her accusers all left, and Jesus said, "Neither do I accuse you. Now go and sin no more." We know that it is difficult as imperfect human beings, but that's why we stand in need of God's grace. There's a proverb which I heard this past week that reminds us that we cannot hide our sins from God. Proverbs 28:13 says, "You will never succeed in life if you try and hide your sins. Confess them and give them up, then God will show you mercy." Are there times that we need to do that with each other? It is an opportunity for us to practice grace and forgiveness in our relationships. It's interesting that as I have visited, though, with folks over the years, one of the hardest challenges for us as human beings is to forgive ourselves and our own imperfections. We seek the love, the understanding, the support of our friends, coworkers, and family, but we also need to be willing to forgive ourselves, to give ourselves some slack and accept his grace to change our life. Can I do something so bad that God won't forgive me? There's a lot of heinous crimes in our society. It's difficult to think that God could forgive them. Is his grace sufficient for everyone, no matter what they do? There are some denominations that teach that there is only one unforgivable sin, and that unforgivable sin is taking one's own life. That's not our position or belief, because we trust in God's grace and love and eternal forgiveness. There are many circumstances, though, that people choose that, whether it's based on depression or despair or terminal illness or other circumstances. As mentioned before, there are reasons for that choice, but I believe that God is willing to sacrifice his own son. He is willing to have a love that is large enough, no matter what choices we make in life, to accept and forgive us. When I was an associate pastor in La Crosse, Wisconsin, we had a colleague in a Lutheran church in the area. He struggled with mental illness and depression in his own life. I won't forget the day that we received word that he had chosen to end his life. At the funeral, the bishop chose a text from Romans 8 where Paul writes, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hear that? It's like the sound of a big bass drum. Nothing, Nothing in all of creation will separate us from God's love. That's God's rich grace for you and me. A small group that Jackie and I are a part of are currently doing a Bible study entitled Grace of God and Flaws of Men. Our next one's going to be Grace of God and Flaws of Women. That study is led by Anand Mahaban, who wears two hats as a business professional and then as a lead planner of the New City Church in Mumbai. He had a great quote. It signifies the depth of God's grace for us. It says, "When sin reigns darkest, grace shines brightest." When sin reigns darkest, grace shines brightest. God is in the business of transforming our lives into people He has called us to be, people of the light. In the midst of our sinfulness, He still accepts us just as we are. In the midst of our sinfulness, His grace shines brightest, and we are blessed by His unconditional love. You may recall the green books that are normally in our pews. We've taken them out because of COVID. That's the Lutheran Book of Worship. Much of the liturgy that was written for those services was taken from Scripture. And in the LBW, the opening confession used a portion of our Scripture text for today. It's a constant reminder, as John wrote, that we cannot deny our imperfections. And if we think we are so much better than our neighbor, then we deceive ourselves, and we are not being faithful to our God, who calls us out of darkness into His glorious light. The confession invites us to come before God with an open heart, willing to honestly say, "Lord, here is where I have judged others. Here is where I have been unfaithful to You, to my partner in our marriage, have not shown compassion towards others." In the service, this part is said by the worship leader. And whether you are at home or sitting here in the sanctuary with us, I invite you to respond with the bold section, following which you will hear the words of forgiveness as if from God Himself. I invite you to reflect on the words as you say them. Hear God speaking to you. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved You with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways, to the glory of Your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy has given His Son to die for you. For His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by His authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God's grace is sufficient, and there is nothing so bad that God won't forgive.